potion!
Welcome to Horror Game Night.
Hey!
I'm Chris.
I'm Hanny.
And this is a podcast all about horror video games.
Ah, I like spooky games.
Yeah, episode one, in fact. Can you believe it? We're here?
No.
Oh.
That's it. I can't believe it.
Yeah, first episode of this endeavor, and we're going to be talking about Choo Choo Charles.
Ah, what a game.
We beat it recently.
We did.
Specifically you.
More specifically me. I beat it. With my hands.
I watched you beat it.
It was very exciting for both of us. We got there together.
Yeah. We always get there together.
Yeah. Even though it was my hands, we finished together.
Yeah. Well, it's because I was ghosting you and moving your hands from behind.
I like that you used the verb ghosting, not in the actual sense of the verb ghosting.
No.
Which you do also do to me, but...
I was Swayze-ing you. Is that better?
Ah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, Horror Game Night. It's a podcast where we're going to talk about horror video games, because you very much like being scared.
Ah, love it. Give me a fright.
And I like curating games for you to play.
It's true, you do.
So we're going to play games together and then talk about them on a podcast.
Ah, I'd love that. I'd love to talk to you about this game in particular.
Yeah. If you want to see us play this game, you can find us at youtube.com/@horrorgamenight.
Yeah, at symbol.
Or follow the link in the description.
Yeah, do it.
So, Choo Choo Charles, this kind of blew up just about a year ago, because it only released on the 6th, was it? December 6th?
December 6th or 9th. Yeah, just a couple weeks before the holidays really got into full swing, following the Thanksgiving Black Friday rush, after not a super long development cycle that was at least public. I feel like the developer was...
It was a year or less.
Yeah, there's a lot about this game that impresses me, like pretty much all of it. I'll come out up front and say I loved this game. I loved playing this game. It was so fun. But even more impressive than how much fun I just had playing the game, I think, is how impressive Two Star Games, the developer, is. Two Star is just one person, and that person is a 20-year-old self-taught developer named Gavin Eisenbeis, I believe is how you say his last name. That's my best attempt, at least. But Two Star Games, developed with Unreal, most likely using C++ in conjunction with that, which, again, is just a whole nother level of complexity that blows my mind. The other thing that I found super impressive about this guy is that, aside from being just self-taught, he's also pretty young. He's 20 years old. And I read somewhere that he had said he had been making games for 8 years, since he was like 12 years old. So like, this is obviously like something that he's like been passionate about for a really long time.
I feel like he actually has some tutorial videos for getting started with Unreal.
That's awesome.
He has a whole bunch of like devlogs and stuff on his YouTube page, which is youtube.com/@2stargames. But I know he has a couple... at least one course that's like getting started with Unreal Engine without any like coding or scripting.
That's awesome. I'll have to give that a check. I don't know if the developer in me can let the not coding bit go. I don't know how much I can get away from really understanding what the code's doing.
But Choo Choo Charles, you're in development, single 20-year-old dev, came out to basically just... not critical acclaim, but fan acclaim.
Definitely fan acclaim, yeah. It's what I would classify this as is like an almost immediate cult classic.
Yeah.
In that, you know, I feel like typically a cult classic, you know, in movies or games or books is something that didn't have a popular initial release or had bad, like, you know, reviews or bad opinions from critics or mixed reviews from critics. And garnered a following. This is just like an immediate one, though, where it was just like, yep, we're going to just not listen to what critics say, and we're just going to play this game and see what happens. And turns out it's a blast.
Well, the thing that Gavin did perfectly is that he's been like building this following for quite a while at this point, it seems like. So pretty much as soon as he launched it, he just had like hundreds of people who were like, yeah, give it to me now.
I mean, we bought it day one, so we're not any better.
I mean, it's awesome.
It's so fun. And this is a pretty uncommon occurrence for me to be looking forward to a game ahead of time.
Yeah.
So this was something you sent me last, I want to say March or something. And it just said basically like, Hanny, could I interest you in a real train of a time? And I was like, what? And I clicked the trailer open. and it was just like, we're playing this. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. I did want to mention that right now, Choo Choo Charles is on Steam. You can get it for $20. It is 92% positive ratings with over 7,000 ratings right now. So that's very positive as far as Steam goes.
I can't wait for all the critics to write their I'm wrong apology posts that we all know that they will write.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, they'll come.
Do you want to give a overview of the game before you talk about it too much? Just
yeah.
To people who haven't heard of it for whatever reason?
Definitely. So Choo Choo Charles is a indie horror game that was released in December of 2022. It's a relatively short game. I think we were able to beat it in about 2 to 3 hours. But I think you could probably stretch it out to like 5 hours of all encompassing things you can do in the game. I mean, you can play as long as you want. I'm just a podcast host. I'm not a cop.
You overestimated us too. It took us like 4 to 5 hours to beat.
Did it really?
Yeah.
That's just because we're enjoying the environment.
Yeah, and not because we're bad at video games.
No, I can't imagine that. Make sure you edit those videos down a little bit more so that I look better.
I think, though, that Gavin had said that typically what he's seen from like playtesters before it released was 2 to 6 hours.
That makes sense. I think that's right in the scope that we found ourselves in. The game has kind of a core mission and then several offshoots, but the kind of overarching theme of the game is that you are an unnamed archivist who, in this world, what an archivist is a monster hunter. But you are friends with a man named Eugene who is inhabiting the island where Choo Choo Charles resides. Eugene calls you up to help with their monster problem on this island, which they're trying to strip mine, it seems, and are unable to because the island seems to be somewhat defended by what Eugene describes as a half spider, half giga trained demon from hell, I think is what he says, which is the best thing ever.
Yes, sir. They call him Charles. Half trained, half giga spider from hell. We've been planning his demise for some time now and have nearly everything in order. Just a few people to meet, places to see. Simple errands, you know. Yes, sir. Welcome to Erinirum, the island where miners dig their own graves. Stay close. Charles isn't the only thing to fear around here.
From there, Eugene leads you on a tutorial where you kind of learn how to use controls, pick up items, use items, and kind of get into the main point of the game. Eugene shows you to a train that you can use to travel around the island. The island is relatively small, all interconnected by railroads, and you can use the train to traverse the island. And also, you can upgrade the train with weapons, speed, and defenses, which serves as your means of both protection and offense against Charles.
Well, the exterior is a little rough, but everything looks to be intact. That gun you were looking at wasn't on here when I was evacuated from the island, but it sure looks fun to use.
But Hanny, what do you need weapons for on a train?
So, the reason you might need some weapons on a train is because shortly after you take control of the train, the monster attacks, and we get our first view of Charles. Charles is exactly what was on the box. It is a train spider with a clown face, and it looks like a demon from hell. It is the same size as your train, if not a little bit bigger. So it is huge, it is in your face, and it is vicious.
Do you hear that? It's him! It's him!
Oh! Why
Hey, light him up!
Sorry, there we go. Oh, God!
Charles will attack randomly throughout the game, and you just basically you can't kill him until a certain point in the game. You can just drive him away. And from there, we learn the real plot of the game, which is that Charles, on this island, is hiding some eggs, you know, spider eggs.
Yep.
And what has happened is kind of a split between the miners, where the leader of the mining company and some of his followers have decided to take all of Charles's eggs and use them for some purpose we're not really sure of. It seems bad, though.
Yeah, pretty good.
The other people are like, hey, why don't we use Charles's eggs to lure Charles out into the open so we can have a fair fight with him? And from there, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to run around the island, sneak into certain mine shafts, steal the eggs, upgrade your train, don't die.
Pretty straightforward, no problem.
That's really the broad overview of the game, and it is a frickin' blast.
Yeah, there's a lot of other characters that you meet that give you different questies.
Quests are pretty typical fetch quest style, so go get this item, bring it here, or go find this, here's a reward, which I love. Fetch quests are my favorite thing to do. Like, I was a big MMORPG player, so like I'm very used to just go to the person with the exclamation point, accept a quest, go get what they need, go back to the person with the question mark, turn the question mark into money.
Yeah. I think most of the quests are designed more to introduce you to the fun characters on the island.
Yeah.
You have Pickle Lady.
I was going to say Pickle Lady.
Tiddles. You have Swamp Witch.
There's a lot of great characters.
Yeah, there's a whole assortment. And also, all the voice acting is really nice.
Well, hello, darling. I'm making a fresh stew with ingredients for my very own swamp. But I don't have any meat at the moment. I smell a carcass on the island in the swamp, and if you wait over there and bring it back for me, I'll pay you some scraps.
Let's hit some of our highlights of the game. Highlights for me, things that I thought were really, really like interesting or well done or cool. I think the game's like overall aesthetic is pretty much immediately grabbing for me. It's 3D with like some very rough illustrative like scratches and shading over the top of it, which is very, very unique. So there's a lot of hand-drawn elements within a 3D environment that are very cool. I'm a big fan of mixed media like that. So it's just, there's a lot of little touches and details in some of the hand-drawn work that you can tell just like meant that the developer really cared to put like effort into that point. So the environment was a huge plus for me. Music and audio effects and voice acting, really good. I loved the music. I found the timing of songs and the like warning music, like when Charles was approaching, and the voice acting and the pretty much all of the environmental like soundscaping that they did was very, very good as well. Like that made for an environment where it looked pretty, it sounded natural, and like it was immersive to the point where I was pretty much like tunnel vision once the game was going. I was ready to be stuck in it. And then finally for me, it's just such a silly game that doesn't take itself seriously but is still at times terrifying and gets a good scare out of you. And I really appreciate that balance because I feel like that's a really hard balance to drive, especially in a very short game. I think my first inclination would be to pick a tone and stick with it. That was not the case here, and I think it was hugely successful to be sometimes comedic, sometimes terrifying, sometimes a little sad or touching. It had a very wide range of like tone and emotion that I don't know that I would have expected going into it.
Yeah, I agree completely. Going back to what you were saying about the like scary music and the cues when everything happens, they do a really nice thing of when Charlie's coming for you, you hear a train whistle in the distance, right? So you know to get ready and get back on that train or you're in trouble. But there's also this sound effect in the musical track that also sounds kind of like a train whistle. So you're like always hearing this thing and you're not quite sure if Charlie's coming for you, and it just keeps you on edge the whole game.
I think there's a really solid job of building tension in the game. I feel like it builds and builds and builds, and then when it finally snaps, you know, with an encounter, it's not lackluster and it doesn't let you down. Like, it's pretty balls to the wall adrenaline filled. So, and the encounter lasts just long enough, I think, to like let your adrenaline drain out and let the tension build back up again naturally without it becoming repetitive.
Yeah. The momentum of the game is really nice because same thing as what you were talking about. The atmosphere is so, like, deceptively relaxing. It's raining, I think, the entire time you're playing the game.
Yeah.
It's very misty. It's just dark. The moon's out. It's really lovely.
It's eternally night. It's night the whole time you're there. It seems like the entire events take place in the course of one evening.
Yeah, and if you took Charlie out of it, then you could just train around the island just choo-chooing and having a really lovely time.
Yeah.
Just kind of sink into that whole atmosphere and just go. But you can only do that for just the perfect amount of time before Charlie comes around the mountain and you can see him off in the distance before he speeds up and comes after you, which is just delightful. And then when he reaches you, it's just like you said, balls to the wall. It's just blasting and screaming until hopefully you drive him off or he eats you. Let's get moving. That sounded like a train.
Yeah, that was a train.
Where is it?
Oh, God!
Can I help you?
Charles!
We also, I think, forgot to mention that while the island is interconnected by rails, it's not entirely accessible by rail. So you do have to abandon the train and get out on foot a lot. But when you do that, there is no handheld weapons, no handheld armor. If Charles gets you, that's it. So you have to, your only choice when he's out is to cower in a place he can't reach you, which is typically like a house or a cave. If you're out in like the open, like in the forest or like just out of your train, he'll just nab you and nom 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 you up.
Yummy.
Chris, what are some of your highlights?
I mean, I agree with everything you've said. I think forcing you to leave the train is perfect. Because not only are you having Charlie that's coming after you for a lot of the game, but you have to deal with the other miners who have, like, decided, hey, this spider train seems to have a good idea. Maybe we should follow what they're doing, you know? So there are these whistling folks with masks on that just carry guns around that you have to keep an eye out for. And I know that the whistling is to kind of warn the player, like, okay, there's someone around this corner. But the fact that it's whistling, a friendly, like,
I feel like it's also fun because it's in line with, like, trains whistling, too. So it's, like,
yeah,
like kind of like a display of allegiance, like almost like a, well, war cry almost.
Yeah, sure.
In the worst way. Also, can my war cry be a train whistle, please?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll work on that to build it up.
Please.
But yeah, just the fact that these guys are wandering around, we had a couple encounters where we were sneaking around because it's really, because you don't have any weapons, it's the only way you can approach these miners is you have to sneak around them. And then you'll hear Charlie in the distance and you'll have to just break into a sprint and then people start shooting at you and Charlie comes around the corner and you have to wedge yourself into like some kind of building. And
oh, hello? Is that a mask?
Yeah.
Let's not let them see us. I don't know how good the stealth in this is. Oh, fuck. Oh.
I'm just gonna run right into their camp. I'm gonna make it everyone's problem if it's gonna be my problem.
Oh, ouch!
Goodbye.
My butt. My booty got blasted again. Oh.
What is that?
That looks like Charles. Problem.
I said I'm gonna make it everyone's problem! Oh, he's fast.
So yeah, forcing you to leave the train is awesome for all these other like reasons that you'll encounter that come together really nicely. I think the best part of the game for me really is just choo-chooing around the island.
It's pretty fun. I think the train customization and the train design is really cool. So the train's very simple to operate. It's forward, backwards, stop. The tracks,
you know, trains.
Yeah. There's some splits in the train tracks where you have to be able to switch a direction by getting out and... Excuse me. You ever choke on spit?
Frequently.
Ah, excellent. Only when I spit in your mouth, though.
No.
Anyway.
I wish it was only then.
So they have these switches that you have to get out and operate with a lever to choose left or right directionally. If you go past them, you can reverse the train. The only problem with traveling backwards is your gun is pointing towards the direction you're facing, and Charles chases you. He doesn't go in front of you. So we had a couple of situations where I had the train in reverse and was just blasting down, but couldn't deal enough damage to him because I was trying to shoot like through the front of the train. Turns out that doesn't work very well.
No.
But I would heavily agree with that. Just the fact that you have to get out of the train and you can't just live in there forever is fantastic.
We tried. We spent a good chunk of our play session just setting up shop in the train. And
listen, if you put me in a train, I'm going to stay in the damn train.
Yeah. Did you have any other highlights that you really enjoyed?
I really liked the ability to paint the train a different color. And the variety of colors that were available for the train and how you have to get out of the train and explore to find new colors because they aren't readily available or part of missions. They're completely bonus based. So as we all know, skins win. So I had to get every skin.
We had a flesh colored train for team skin.
Yeah, my midnight meat train.
In retrospect, that might be why Charlie was chasing us, actually.
Because we were meat painted.
Yeah.
Just looked like a little sausage zipping around the island on railroad.
Choo-choo. Just flopping around.
Choo-choo. I think I like not having to deal with inventory management in games like this, where there's so much inventory I have to keep track of it. Like in Choo-choo Charles, it was just keys and scrap to upgrade.
That's kind of related to the other thing that I forgot that I love about this game, is that when you die, you just go back to your train.
Yeah. The respawn point is really convenient.
It's
or not. Sometimes it's not convenient, but
yeah, but it's not painful.
Yeah,
you're never like, oh god damn it, now I have to go and do this. And
I just lost an hour and a half. Oh wait, now these three rooms I just cleared in Resident Evil aren't green anymore.
Just for an example,
one that's in recent memory. I think that's the brunt of my highlights, but I mean, overall the game was just very fun.
What was your favorite quest?
I really liked the ghost quest you have to do where you have to collect the pages because the stakes aren't clear to you, and then once you figure out what's happening,
I don't want
to spoil. I not because of spoilers, but because I genuinely don't want to give too much help for those who haven't played it yet, because this was a very fun mechanic.
Yeah.
That was a huge highlight for me. I think the other big highlight for me was the Swamp Witch. You have to make your way across a swamp that's not incredibly large, but large enough that there is a sea serpent that you can't see that lives inside the swamp, or the swamp monster. And the swamp monster can only attack you if you're moving. So you can slowly start making your way towards the center of an island within the swamp. And while you're like kind of wading across, you'll see splashes coming at you. And if you stop dead, the splashes will, you know, kind of go past you and keep moving on. And that's an indicator of the swamp monster. And as long as you're not moving, it won't get you. But if you do move when the splashes catch up with you, you're done. I think those two were probably my highlights. What about you?
I mean, I have to shout out the pickle lady. I don't know what was going on there, but I was all about it.
Her quest wasn't exceptionally anything special,
no.
Like the going to get a jar of pickles, but the voice acting on that
top-notch
character was top-notch, and just the dedication to the pickle joke around the environment in that area was so well thought out. It was great.
Yeah, it was very good. One of the fun things in this game is there's a lot of references to other horror games, which you probably didn't pick up on yet, Hannah, because you haven't played a ton. But the swamp one reminded me a lot of a section in Amnesia.
Oh, cool.
And the ghost one reminds me quite a bit of the 8 Pages, the Slenderman game.
That one I definitely got the same vibes from. I haven't played the Slenderman game, but I'm more aware of it. And I think I watched some YouTube videos when it first came out.
Yeah, it also reminded me of the Kolot game, which is based on the Detlov Pass incident.
Oh, that'd be a fun one for me to play. I've never played the game, but Detlov Pass incident is one of my favorite unresolved mysteries. And I think, speaking of references, another thing that we maybe didn't mention is that this game was partially inspired by Stephen King. at least that's what I read, is that it was partially inspired by Thomas the Tank Engine, if you couldn't tell, and also by Charlie the Choo-Choo, which is a children's short story that Stephen King wrote in 2016, which is in turn based off of his own horror sci-fi series, The Dark Tower, which has a sadistic train character in it named Blaine the Monorail, who's legitimately an asshole, which is pretty dang cool, I think. I'm a huge Stephen King fan. In particular, The Dark Tower is one of my favorite Stephen King series. It's the bee's tits, as Chris would say.
I would say, yeah. What are things that we were less crazy about? Because no game is perfect.
So I don't think I noticed it as much as you did, but there were some performance issues that we had with the game on load up, where by default it was set to like all of the highest settings for graphics, which when we were playing it was on a pretty high powered gaming laptop, but it's still a laptop, and also that laptop was running recording equipment, other pretty like CPU intensive programs, like OBS, and so it didn't perform super well out of the gate for us because it wasn't optimized well out of the gate, but we were able to correct the majority of those issues with manual like intervention within the settings. But I do wish it had been kind of set to more of a medium grade going into it, and then the ability to go up from there.
Yeah, it was pretty choppy on startup, but I just wanted to mention that because it is a recurring critique of the game in a lot of reviews that I've seen.
Yeah.
One of the few as far as critiques go from people who actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Which is the majority of actual players rather than critics.
Yeah. And there were some points that I definitely noticed the performance getting a little harder to deal with. Like high intensity animation scenes with like Charles attacking you when you're trying to like fire a gun at the same time. Those could get a little choppy and a little bit like, oh, where's my control? I think the last thing that I had some like a little bit of disappointment about, but nothing like super crazy, was there's no voice animations that go along with the voices. So like the mouths don't open or close. So like you'll have an up close of a like pretty well animated human that's got an amazing speaking voice, but the mouth's not moving and there's no like facial like animations to like go along with it. I do know that Chris had mentioned that the developer directly addressed why that was, so it's not a huge deal for me, and I'll let you speak to that in a second, Chris, but it took me out for the briefest moment during the first couple times, and then after I got used to it, it was something I didn't even notice anymore. But I would love in a like a 2.0 or a 3.0 to see that maybe added in or enhanced a little bit.
Yeah. I don't expect that to ever come, just based on what he said. But basically, what he was using to create the models, there's no like facial rigging for it, so you'd have to go in and manually like animate every single expression and character, which I don't think they're into.
No.
Which is fair.
My thoughts would be if another publisher picked it up to like localize it for different systems or something like that, maybe then. But other than that, I mean, that's a pretty low gripe for me. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, that's a bummer. But like after that, I was like, all right, cool. Moved on with my life.
Yeah. The biggest negative for me, aside from the frames, was I'm not as crazy about the fetch quests. A go here, get this, bring back isn't my favorite thing. But the quests also aren't really the point of the game. It's just to get you to run around the island more.
There was also some filler, for sure, like aspects to it, too, just to, like, add some meat.
Yeah, but also it's, like, all optional, so if you're not into filler, then
yeah. Just
don't do it, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And also they're just to introduce, like, these fun characters. So in that regard, they're, like, fine. They do exactly what they're meant to.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call them the most engaging side content that you can find.
Definitely, yeah. I would agree with that.
But really, that's it for me. Like, I think he accomplished exactly what he sent out to do.
Yeah.
Everyone he made the game for seems to love it.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Just nailed it. Knocked it out of the park. Sounds like he's going to bring this to all the consoles.
That's what I've heard. I'm a big Switch boy, so I'm pretty excited for it to be on the Switch as well.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a really good addition to just having a quick game that I can pull out on a portable device and play for a few minutes whenever I want.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that he's already been fixed, like releasing patches and stuff. Like pretty much, I think day two or three, he released a patch for bugs that people had mentioned.
Let's go.
But the really cool thing that he's doing is avoiding fixing anything that speedrunners are utilizing, which I mentioned that to you, and I love that.
Yeah.
So pretty much if it's a bug that doesn't affect someone playing through the game like you normally would, and you're not trying to break it with your speedruns or anything, it's just going to be in there for people to take advantage of if they are speedrunners, which is awesome.
I like that because it makes it so that every speedrun is created equal from day one forward. Like, yeah. There's nothing like, well, he fixed this patch, so everything before December doesn't count, or, you know, whatever those arguments can be. I'd be like, nah, path forward is the same for everyone. Let's see how you do.
Yeah. So it sounds like his main focus right now is continuing to release patches as necessary, porting the game to different systems. But let me get your thoughts on this.
Hit me.
There's a fun little like Easter egg, I guess, in here where Gus the Bus is mentioned.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who want to see like a sequel or another game with Gus the Bus. I personally would rather him just work on more weird projects that like just pop into his head, because just the games we've seen from him that are available on Steam right now are like really interesting.
Right.
Choo Choo Charles, I know it started more as like a joke game, like a meme game, but then as it went on, it became like more complex and he added more to it. And then My Beautiful Paper Smile is just like dripping with atmosphere and aesthetic.
Yeah.
And the story seems super interesting. I don't want to see another Choo Choo Charles. I want to see like more weird projects that nobody else is going to make.
I could see a fun variant where it's Gus the Bus, but it's a completely different game. Like it's not a survival horror. Like it could be something like a
Crazy
driven
taxi.
Platformer. Well, I was thinking like a driven platformer, right? Where you're just like, you can't leave the bus and you have to just avoid, like the bus can't stop and you just have to avoid things, or, you know,
but you
like,
can make the bus jump.
Yeah. And like, just like shit like that, like stupid stuff, like where, and it's like a completely like light and airy and weird tone to the game, like atmospheric, dreamy, like euphoric kind of vibe, where it's still what people ask for, but they don't get what they thought they wanted.
Yeah.
And still has like some subversion to it. Other than that, I would just rather see if they were going to do anything with Gus the Bus, just add in an update to Choo Choo Charles to have like a side quest that is a full exploration of what that is.
I bet something that would be pretty easy, knowing nothing about game dev myself.
Yeah, pretty easy. Chris, the eternal product manager over here. Yeah. This should be like a day, right?
Yeah, it's no problem. Just why don't you figure this out and release?
Why don't you just put those codes on that paper?
Huh? Go ahead and get that to me. But just like a reskin. Like if you reskin as Charles as like Gus.
Yeah, that does actually sound relatively simple.
Yeah. Yeah, he was talking about how compatible this game idea is with other like worlds and ideas. Like if you take a boat and you're going around the ocean and there's like a sea monster or something and you have to go diving to recover stuff.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely sickening. I mean,
you could do
other land. You could do just mine cars instead of trains or something. Like you could do like racetrack, like NASCAR.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah, it's just like it's just like someone like gonna throw a beer at you. That's the monster the whole time.
Yeah, the idea is very transferable.
Absolutely.
I love that he was the one who executed on it, though.
Yeah. I think for being our first game we finished for Horror Game Night, I couldn't be happier. It was short. It was sweet. And it's also a game where I feel like it's so small but so fun that what I'll do is probably put it down for 3 or 4 months and then just get a hankering for it one night, smash through the whole game in like a 2-3 hour sitting while, you know, having a beer or eating some snacks or something and just relaxing, you know, in some like summer night where I have nothing going on or something. And I'm like already looking forward to that, like the vibe of that, like just like having like the windows open on a like spooky like summer night where it's like maybe like heading into fall and like, you know, there's like started that crisp in the air, maybe some candles. Like It's a very vibes-driven game.
Yeah, definitely. It's also perfect for streaming.
Yes.
So one of the other really nice things about this game is you can set waypoints anywhere on the map, and it'll just like show up as a bright light while you're running around, so you know exactly where to go. So you can hop on your train, set it moving, hit a waypoint, and you're like set. You can talk to your chat. You can
do an ad read or something. You know?
Yeah. Have some drinks, and it's very good.
What would you rate this game out of 10 for you?
I don't like that rating system.
No? What's your rating system?
My rating system is, so starting from best to the lowest.
Okay.
Must play. Recommend. Take it or leave it. Pass.
All right. Where would you put it?
I would put this as a recommended game.
Recommended? I like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
For me, I think the relatively low cost of the game combined with the relative ease and like length of the game makes it fairly accessible. It's not the most accessible game. Like $20 is still a good chunk of money, and you know, 6 hours is still a good chunk of time to invest in something, but I think it's relatively accessible. So for me, that bumps it up a little bit. In addition to how much I enjoyed it, I would put it at a must play.
So you would recommend this to anyone? That's what I consider a must play. Like, you would tell anyone who plays video games, play this game.
I showed my mom and she thought it looked fun. So,
all right.
I'm down.
There you go.
Heard it here first. Mom approved.
What's the average of recommended and must play?
Must recommend.
Strong recommend?
Yeah, I think a strong recommend is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Choo Choo Charles, strong recommendation from Horror Game Night. Pretty confident in that?
I'm pretty confident in that too.
Lovely. Do you have any further thoughts for this episode of Horror Game Night, Hanny?
I think I'm tapped out.
All right.
Go play Choo Choo Charles.
Go play Choo Choo Charles. Thank you for listening to this very first episode. If you want to watch us play games that we talk about, youtube.com/@horrorgamenight.
It's the at symbol.
The at symbol. You can put that into URLs or URLs, as Hanny calls them. Not URLs, URLs. He calls them E-A-R-L-S.
No, J-A-R-L-S. Yarls.
Yarls.
URIs, even?
URIs?
Yeah, that's actually what I call them.
Okay.
It's another name for them, though, so don't worry about it.
I wasn't.
Yeah, that's fair.
Never worried. Thanks for chatting with me, Hanny.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think the next time we chat will probably be about Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
Bye.
Bye.